The Ginny Show Monday Mocha Special is where I chat to an inspiring individual from some place in the world. They tell us their journey, some inspiring tips. It's literally like having a coffee with me. So join us. You can even eavesdrop on the story.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Okay, so I'm currently wandering around backstage at a club in New York. I'm looking for a dear friend of mine who I've known for a few years. I love having mockers with her, not just on Monday, but any day. I'm holding what she calls a microphone condom. You wonder where this goes on? Microphones. Every microphone she receives for a gig, she has a condom for it. At least she practices safe singing. Let's just say that. Now, let's go find the queen of house music.
So, Anaya Day, tell me, do you drink coffee?
I do not drink coffee. I do not even like coffee unless it's flavored to taste like something else.
So are you talking more about the frappes and stuff?
Yeah, it's got to, like, have vanilla and caramel. And, like, the flavor of coffee bean has to be masked for me to drink it. So it doesn't make sense to drink the coffee, you know what I mean? I might as well have a hot chocolate.
So what do you do for a pick-me-up drink? Do you have anything in the morning to kind of get you going?
Not at all. Ironically, being a singer and everything, you would think I liked hot beverages, and I don't. I like ice-cold beverages. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I drink is ice-cold water. And, you know, I get it from my mother. She does the same thing. And my mother's 86 years old, and the first thing she does, she brushes her teeth, goes in the kitchen, and drinks ice-cold water.
That's actually really funny, because my mother and uncle used to have this myth that you've got to get up in the morning and the water's the first thing that you go for. Like, screw the coffee, we got to get water into us. Because your body, when you wake up, it's dehydrated because it hasn't had water for that long. So maybe that is the key to longer life. I think we're onto something.
Could be. And, you know, that study that shows that you should drink cold water before your first meal in the morning.
Ah, cold water before your first meal. Let me write that one down. Cold water.
There is a study, yes. And I was so elated to read that because I was like, well, I do that anyway. I've been doing it all my life, so I guess I'm on to something.
I think you're going to outlive us all.
Oh, yeah.
Do you hit the snooze button when you wake up?
I do not. I am not really a procrastinator unless it's something like just going to hang out or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an hour late. I'm tired. But when I have to do something, like if there's a gig or whatever and the alarm goes off, I get up. Like, even if I have to, I have this ritual when I'm really, really tired, the alarm goes off, I just go, and I get up. Just get up. I mean, what is laying here an extra 5 minutes going to do? Nothing. Get up. And then I just get up.
You know,
I say it out loud like a crazy person, so I hear myself and I get my butt up.
I'm going to need to make that my alarm clock ringtone and just change it to Ginny. Ginny, get up. I'm going to actually need to do that. If everyone did that, everyone might like download this podcast and make that their alarm clock ringtone. I feel that they're going to do that.
Yeah, I'll make one for you. It's like, New Yorkian voice. Ginny, get up, yo.
I think you could make a killing off that. I mean, you got the Anaya Day phone covers, just chucking the alarm clock ringtone. I think you'd be onto something there.
Yes, indeed.
I know that you're a very hard worker, so it doesn't surprise me that you don't hit the snooze button when you wake up. You are a very focused person. And one day you said to me, when I was interviewing you, you said, if you have a project or a passion, you know, do something every day that furthers it and it has to grow.
Yes.
And that's something that you obviously do every day. You seem to have a very big discipline around your work and your work ethic. Is there a meditation or spiritual practice you have behind that keeps you so disciplined?
Every morning, like, as as soon as I open my eyes, I always say, thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. And then it just goes from there. I thank God for the day before. I thank God for a comfortable sleep. I thank God for keeping my household together and safe. Then for keeping the land around me safe, that I was not disturbed and everything was as I left it or better. I thank God for keeping my little animals safe. I have two cats. And then I just start to meditate. I have little, I guess you can call them mantras, that I put in my phone, and they are different each day, and they pop up in the morning. And one of them is, today I give that which I would like to receive. So I say that, today I will give that which I would like to receive. I say it aloud 3 times, and then I just meditate on it in my mind, even just laying there. And then as I get up, I walk and I say thank you with every step to the bathroom, and then that's my process.
Wow. So you are a very big practitioner of gratitude, clearly.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm brought up and am still Baptist, but I have a Pentecostal apostolic, seasoning, because I went to a Pentecostal church watch care, it's called, because it was closer to my house and all my friends were when I was in high school. So I went there for a while, and with both those things being poured into me and all the reading I do, I've learned that when you are grateful for what you have, the universe gives you more. You know what
I
mean? And that's like in the song, God Bless the Child, that's got its own. There's a line that says, the first line actually says, them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. Now that's awful. And it's also, it's biblical, because the song goes on to say, so the Bible says, and it still is news. And it's very true. It's like, if you have gratitude, you get gratitude. If you're grumbling, you'll get more to grumble about.
That's so true. So you get more of the moreness that you put out, essentially.
Yes, indeed.
That's beautiful. I love the different kind of flavors of gratitude stories that I hear from different people, how they practice gratitude, and your one's very distinctly unique. So thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of people would be inspired by that. So they've got the Anaya Day alarm clock plus the gratitude practice. It is a powerhouse package, people, already. Tell me about someone who's left a heart print on you.
My brother, he passed away at 39 years old, and his name was Sean Jamel, and he was a co-writer with Faith Evans and stuff like that. But I think when he passed, it opened another door inside me. Like, I'm more apt to show and speak things that I feel. I'm not totally openly like, oh dear God, I'm crying because the cartoon dog died or whatever, but I'm much more sensitive to things now, and that's totally an imprint on my heart because of him, because he lived, and because of the loss of him. So he's changed my life, I would say, in a full circle.
Wow. It's amazing when someone's left, like when someone leaves you, even though they leave you in the physical form, the, I guess the aesthetic form still stays, or the etheric form still stays, and the spiritual form still stays, and they're still with you in some way to still be with you to ensure that you're okay.
Yes, indeed.
And I know that you do a lot of gigs and you wear a t-shirt with him on there. Is that a way of kind of to honor him and to keep him close to you?
Yes, especially when I'm doing gigs with band members or singers with whom he's worked, I'll put the shirt on, and certain songs we do, we still do his riffs or his licks, you know, the way he sang it. And like my friend Elon, every time he does his thing, he'll go, Sean Jamel! Like, they just scream his name out randomly.
Aww.
And it's been 7 years since he's passed away, just about 7 years, so...
Wow.
Yeah, he's left an imprint on many hearts.
That's beautiful. It's good to also recognize him through voice and the vibration behind that voice too. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I go places and I get dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, I never knew there was a... And he wrote that with Faith Evans.
He wrote that song?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yes. That part of Fat Man Scoop song was my jam in year 10. Sean Jamel. When I hear that in the club now, I'm going to be singing his name. Probably not as good as your friend, but I will give it my best.
Yes, he wrote that with Faith. And actually, the track, the music, is from an old song by Chic. Because it used to go, do-do-do-do-do, Chic, Chic, do-do-do-do-do, Chic. And they used that track, Puffy. Sean Puffy Combs used that track, and Sean and Faith wrote the lyrics on top of it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I love that music lessons that you give me all along. I mean, you educated me on George Michael, which was one. I mean, I knew about him before, yes, obviously, but you took me to his concert. The music lessons that you give me every time you go to a gig. Do you know this song? No. Well, the R&B history of this song is this.
Yes.
You are like a book. So speaking of, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book is the Bible.
So it's something you read often?
Yes, it is. Just about every day. Even if it's excerpts or whatever. And I like reading it not just because I was taught to, you know, religion-wise. I like reading it to compare timelines, history timelines of the Bible with true life, I should say, present day history timelines. You know what I mean? The history we study in school or the history that I'm learning outside of the church with the history in the book of the Bible. And I like correlating them and going, oh, wow, that works out. Oh, wow, that makes sense. Or understanding, well, that doesn't apply anymore because it was said by those people to these people. It's not a unilateral statement. You know what I mean? I like learning from it, dissecting it, and really getting an understanding of it. You'd be surprised how much wisdom is in there, how many good novels are in there. They have so much stuff in there. There's no movie that could be more raunchy than the things in the Bible. I mean, love stories, everything is in there. Everything, everything, everything. You just can't miss a thing if you read that book, trust me.
Every time that you read the book, do you find that you see something in there that you kind of didn't see before? Is there some different kind of, educational transaction that happens there that you're like, oh, I actually didn't see it that way before?
Yes, most of the time, because as I grow in understanding it, because it's not always an easy thing to understand. As my understanding grows and my research ability broadens, then I go, oh, that's what that meant. And most of the time, it's not what I was always taught that it meant, because some of the, you know, if you play operator and I tell you something, by the time it gets to the third person, something has changed. So if you think about the Bible, I like to call it scripture, because the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that it is, you know, exact. But the scripture, if you think about it, it's been translated and translated and retranslated. So something is always lost, added, or changed in translation. And every writer, every artist puts a bit of himself into his art, into his writings, into his interpretations. So we have to understand that it's not always direct from God, but it's also going to be the influence of that person, that society, that law at the time. You know, there's a lot of things that come in play. There are a lot of things that come into play when you're reading something. So one has to read it and educate themselves going along the way with other things, like the Greek lexicon. When you read the Old Testament, you would need a Hebrew lexicon. If you are reading the New Testament, you need the Greek lexicon, because they were written originally in those languages.
Wow.
So where I always use this example, suffer the little children to come unto me. Now, when I was young, I was like, Dad, why would the little children have to suffer to come to Christ, to God?
Yeah.
I didn't get it, because our version of suffer, you know, the most widely used version, means to go through ache, you know, or anguish. But I didn't know there's another interpretation for it, and that is the one they meant, and that means to allow. So suffer the little children to come unto me means allow the children to come unto me, because they're without blemish and fault. So that's what that meant. So that was a simple example, but a good one.
Gotcha. Wow. Yeah. Well, I never saw it that way. Thank you for giving me that different perspective.
No worries.
Now, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Sometimes. It depends on how long I intend to be there.
Because I have seen you gig before and you have a microphone condom, so I thought you might have some form of a phone condom that you take in there with you. Or
right, I'd rather not have the phone in the bathroom. It just doesn't seem to fit for me. But if I have to do something or I'm in the middle of a call and I have to tinkle, I will take the phone and I'll put it on mute. And then I'll unmute it and go,
It's like you're trying to negotiate this big contract for a gig. It's like, yes, I expect that payment. Tinkle, mute.
Exactly.
Have you accidentally muted after the tinkle?
No, I haven't. I've been lucky. I've been, really good with that. I'm really careful with it.
Sometimes I get a bit clumsy thumbsy in those situations, and when you mute it, when you're not supposed to mute it, it's like when anyone needs to tinkle or fart, that's the most, it's hard. It's hard when you miss that button.
Yes, it is. And you miss the button and they're like, hello?
Especially if you're on a business call, I think your credibility drops like 10 points and you have to work harder to get that back now.
Totally. But there's some friends of mine, like, I don't care because they do it to me. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom, so payback. And you know what payback is. And they just bust out laughing because they know what's about to happen.
They know shit's about to go down. Maybe literally. Oh, wonderful. Speaking of your wonderful friends that you have such an open toilet conversation with, have you ever had a friendship that you've outgrown? And is there any advice you could give to anyone who is going through this?
Oh, my God, yes. Many, 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 many friendships I've outgrown. And, there's a saying that we have, some of them say, oh, man, Anaya got all new. She's acting new. And at first that would, insult me, but I've, come to know that that is not an insult. Actually, they may mean it as an insult, but I think it's a compliment. That means I have grown and they're in the same place. So it confirms my choice to back away and as being a good one.
Yeah.
Sometimes you grow and they don't, or you grow in different directions, and you grow to want other things. You grow in understanding, and sometimes the other person does not, or you both grow to understand that you were good for one another for that time, because some people are there for a reason, some are there for a season, and some are there for a lifetime. And once you can understand and accept that and act on it, then you're fine. But when you force things, like I always use this, when the weather has changed from summer to winter and you still are hell-bent on wearing that bikini, you're going to freeze. You're going to hurt yourself. The weather has changed. You have to put on new clothes. You have to change with the weather.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
See, this is another pearl of wisdom. I'm going to make, like, quote boards for you, Anaya. Like, with every interview.
That's a good idea.
With every interview that we have, we just need quote boards.
Yes.
That's so true. A lot of people do cling on to the romantic idea of, oh, we've been friends for years, it needs to stay this way, but it may not be that case.
Yeah, and it's not always easy to let it go. It's many times hurtful, or, something happens that's hurtful, but you just have to see the signs. If you see the signs and heed them, that's the key. You heed them ahead of time and not try to hold on because you just want to, or it's something you're used to and comfortable with. It's like, oh, this is like an old bag. The old bag has holes in it. Let it go. You're losing everything. The bag can no longer hold your stuff.
Yeah.
So let the bad go. And that's what we have to do. And I am blessed to be able to see signs and heed them. Now, I don't always heed them right away, but most of the time I do. You know, and the other person thinks, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it didn't just happen. This is a culmination of things have brought me to this place. And it's, I don't dislike you. I love you with the love of God, but you don't belong here anymore. I have to put you over here.
Wow. I think that the way that you put that is going to help a lot of people kind of rearrange their relationships, I guess.
Yes, indeed. And it doesn't mean you dislike them or that they're bad people. It's just you have to learn where to put them.
Exactly.
Or not place them at all. They may no longer have a place, and that's okay.
Wow. Thank you. And I'm going to write down those quotes. There's a few quote board golden moments there. And are you the kind of person that constantly checks for reactions for your social media posts, or do you just post it and leave it?
Most of the time I post it and leave it, but if I am sitting, I try to give myself social media time each day if I can.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of people to respond to, and I try to say thank you to each person individually or respond to a question, or, because I have the inbox and I have the page, and then I have, you know, Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter. So I try to give myself some media time and respond to people and put stuff out there so that they know what's going on with me and update my tour schedule and things like that. But I can't always do it. Sometimes I have to post a picture or a video of me singing because I'm actually in the middle of doing that thing, and I leave it, and I don't go back and check all the time. I try to do it in a clump, because if I keep going back to check, I'll never have time for anything else. And I think it's a bad thing too, because it's consuming. It's consuming of your mind, of your energy, and of your time, where you can do something else to grow, so that you have something else to post.
Exactly. It's all about that next post, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
That's so true. It's wonderful how you've just explained that, because you do have the intention of replying to everyone and you know, letting everyone know that you're there and you are listening. But, yeah, you have to get on with it.
Yeah, you do, because you will be here all day.
So true. I think we got to put that out there for the millennials. They tend to forget that there is a life outside of Instagram.
Yes, put the phone down. Look at the world around you with your own eyes and not through the eye of a camera.
So true. So true. Anaya, is there an exercise that you hate doing?
All of them.
You ain't discriminating. You're just putting it out there. All of them.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it. I mean, you know, of course, from time to time, I have to do sit-ups to strengthen my core because my diaphragm is down there. I use it to sing, you know, and I have to jump around and dance around and sing. I mean, when you're singing at 127 beats per minute at high ranges and loudly for 45 minutes, like I just did on this cruise, you need a good diaphragm. So you have to keep your core strong, because you will ruin your voice, because it will force you to sing from your throat, which is very bad. So, yes, I do make sure that the core stays strong, and I try to do some cardio so that I can have the breath to sing all the notes and hold them as long as I need to hold them, and it go as high as I need to go, and not sacrifice my vocals when I dance. Like, if I dance around, I don't want to go, that's right, pleased to meet you, I don't want to tell you my name, you know. You don't want to hear me heaving.
I love, and I have to say, and I do tell this to people who I hang out with and go to gigs with, you are one of those singers and those artists who performs it. I don't think you even need a microphone. You could get to the back of that stadium without the microphone, because you project immaculately. Immaculately.
That comes from my musical theater training. I've been in musical theater since I was like 12 or 13, and we're always taught to play to the back of the room. So you have to play to the back of the theater, meaning when you're on stage, you project as if everyone is on that back wall, like there's standing room, and those people have to hear you too. So you articulate and you project. You get it from, again, you pull it from your diaphragm. They tell us to pretend there's a string at the top top of your head, pulling you up toward the heavens. And you take a deep breath, and it goes, it feels around your stomach and back and then up to your chest. A lot of people take their air into their chest immediately, and they are shortening their air capacity.
Wow.
It should come from your diaphragm, and it goes around to your back, and you can actually see it expanding, and then the chest, if you even need that. And that's how you see, like, dancers, professional dancers, they'll be standing totally still, except you see their stomach panting.
Yeah, yeah, that's so
everything
true.
Everything else is it's an isolation of their stomach because they're breathing correctly. Everything else can be still. Their shoulders are not going up and down and their chest isn't popping out. It's just their stomach because they're using their diaphragm.
Gotcha. Oh, wow, that's a good thing to look out for, actually, because you're right, you never really see them out of breath. And if they are, they make it look like it's a part of the routine.
Exactly.
Wow, I gotta learn that swagger, because otherwise I'd be the one on the floor like, ah, pleased to meet you. That would be me. There's a reason. See, I have a theory. I think God doesn't give with two hands. God says you can be a radio host or you can be a singer. I don't think God will let you be both. So,
You can be both. You can. You take a couple of lessons and watch. I'll come over there and I go, oh, did you hear Jenny's new single?
It's her debut and tribute single, and that's the only single she'll ever release.
Never know.
Thank you for the faith, Anaya. If you could trade lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
A four-year-old child.
Oh, I love that answer. I love that answer. Why a four-year-old child?
Because they have absolutely no worries. They can walk, they can talk, and they play. They can go to the toilet on their own. You know, they don't have to wait for someone to wipe their butt. They can go to the toilet on their own. They can feed themselves. But all they do is have fun and play. They're toddlers. They're living the life of Riley.
Wow.
They can go to Disney and understand that Mickey is awesome. It's not like, what's that? Goo goo gaga. It's your mouse. No, they're like, I want to see Mickey Mouse. They're old enough to understand and young enough not to be held accountable for anything. They don't even have to go to school. I mean, if you put them in preschool, cool, but all they do is play there too. So that's the life. Are you kidding me?
That is the life.
Bills.
Yeah, that is actually so true. I love that answer because I think children have this sense of, they're also fearless as well. They don't seem to be like, when I go on the monkey bars now, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to die. And I'm only like a centimeter off the floor. But as a child, I'd flip on that thing. There's absolutely no fear.
Yeah, I flipped on it. I would climb to the very top of it. And my mother would go, you're going to kill your crazy self. Get down. And I would go, I'm going to jump. And I would jump from the highest monkey bar and be fine.
Wow.
And
wow.
If I jumped, I would break everything in my body. Because I would tense up.
It's so true. Even my mum, when I was on the monkey bars, when I jumped, she'd be like, Jesus! Every time. So in my last podcast, I talk about how she used to do that every time. So sometimes I wouldn't do it because it would be more embarrassing for me when my mum would yell to the Son of God. So I'm like, I'm going to let this one slide. Wait.
Well, my mother is similar. Before she yelled at me, she would always go, Lord, look at this child. Get down from there. So before the command, it was, Lord, look at this child.
They somehow involve the Lord in there, don't they? Somehow.
Always. You gotta involve the Lord. Because I'm like, Lord, can you believe this?
Can't believe you gave me this. Yeah, exactly. speaking of all this joy and laughter, you are celebrating 20 years of being in the biz, in the house biz. How does it feel to have come such a long way? Not many people survive two decades, let alone one sometimes. So congratulations, first of all, and how's it all going?
It's going great. And, you know, I'm doing things I haven't done. Like, I performed two concerts and two pop-up shows on the Allure of the Seas, Royal Caribbean, which is one of the two largest passenger ships in the world. And I had an absolute blast. And it came up at the last minute. It was amazing. And I'm doing more with my gospel music. I've recorded gospel music before, but that was maybe about 20 years ago. Now I have gospel projects that I've released on my own label and everything, that they're picking up traction, and it feels great. And I'm singing at more gospel events. I actually got to sing at Carnegie Hall last month.
Wow.
Gospel. Can you?
Wow.
Carnegie Hall singing gospel, and it was packed. Every tier was packed with people, and it was one, and I was singing with like many of the gospel greats, like, you know, the godmother of gospel, Shirley Caesar, and Yolanda Adams, and Donnie McClurkin, and Richard Smallwood. These are all gospel greats. They're legendary, and little old me. So that was quite an honor. So I'm getting to do new things, you know, and sometimes old things in a new way, you know.
Of course.
Amazing.
I love the fact that you just, the fact that you said that it was great to sing gospel at Carnegie Hall, because getting to Carnegie Hall itself is a pretty amazing, you know, I guess a testament to where you're at and to sing gospel. Are you going to release any albums or music related to that?
Yes, I have a gospel project that I've just released about a month ago called The Day That You Were Born. And I'm concocting a little production around it and everything. So maybe by the time fall comes, you know, just as Thanksgiving comes in, maybe I'll put up the production to give people a chance to see it for like 2 or 3 months. And yeah, it's been doing really well. People love it. So even I promoted it through a dance music promoter, actually. And the DJs have been giving such awesome feedback. We got so many tens for this gospel project. And
wow.
I was amazed.
Wow. I think you've hit a gold mine there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think this one CD can last a long time. So, and that's the way it's supposed to be. If you look at the top pop artists, their music can last for years. Like, you're like, wow, she hasn't put anything out in 3 years. It doesn't even seem that long.
And
because you've been singing that song for so long, because it's so good, you don't even realize 3 years have passed.
And sometimes you don't need to. Like, Sia, I reckon, released her next album too early. She could have rode that way for another couple years.
Yeah, I think so too.
Wow.
I sing Sia's music with the band that I'm in, 45 Riots. And, yeah, I'm still singing her music. I still sing Titanium, for God's sake. Oh. And it's one of my favorites, you know, one of the audience favorites for me to sing. And, but I was happy when she did the, Cheap Thrills?
Yeah, yeah.
I sing that too with the band.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love Sia. And we happened to be doing someone's wedding, and Sia was just a guest at the wedding.
No way!
No lie. She was a guest at the wedding, and this is before Cheap Thrills comes out. She gets up and says, I'm going to do a song, you know, and she had her own track. Played her track, but my band played along, and she had the two girls on the dance floor dancing while she was on the stage, and she said, come on, turn your radio on, and, you know, she started singing it, and we didn't know the song, of course, because it wasn't officially released.
Yeah.
And she did that, I don't need a money for a while, and I was like, this song is dope, and the track ran out, and my band picked it up and started killing it. She said, how about this band? Oh, my God. You know, like, don't take pictures of Sia, but of course I got a couple of, you know, snaps.
That's for your personal collection.
I was like, surely they don't mean me.
Everything applies to everyone but you, Mom. That is fantastic. What a story. Like, you got to hear Sia, and I love the way that you impersonate her accent. You do a great job of mine. Hers, I think you're on par now.
That's funny. I didn't even realize I did that.
It's like, everybody sit down. It's like, okay, here we go. Wonderful. Well, Anaya, thank you so much for joining me on Monday Mocha. And even though you don't drink coffee, I think next time we catch up, let's have a glass of cold water.
I think that's a great idea.
Perfection.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.